The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today. The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in just a football savant. He does a great job. Baldy's Breakdowns on Twitter is absolutely wonderful. Former NFL offensive lineman, now a preeminent NFL analyst, and the great Brian Baldinger. Baldy, how you been?
Good, Zach. I'm good. Good to be with you, man. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear your voice as well. I appreciate you coming on. So I want to start you off in the trenches, and it's fitting we do so. The Bengals, the last 2-3 years, have not had a good offensive line. They went big on the moves this offseason, as they should, to protect Burrow. Now they go into this AFC divisional weekend with no Kappa. We know Lael Collins has been out for a while and Jonah Williams out. How does Cincinnati still find a way to survive in the trenches?
Well, I mean, they won 9 in a row, Zach. You know, it's not like they haven't, you know, they've collapsed. You know, even with the loss of Lael Collins weeks ago and then Kappa a couple weeks ago. And, you know, even with Jonah Williams going down, I thought Jackson Carmen, until the last series, I thought he played pretty good. He was a left tackle, Clemson. He was a second-round pick. You know, look, they tried him at guard. It wasn't great. They went in a different direction. But, you know, they drafted him to be, not necessarily the left tackle, but they drafted him to be a starting offensive lineman. Max Sharping was a second-round pick, you know, at Houston, you know, a couple years ago. And Akeem Adeniyi is a guy that started for him last year. So it's not like none of these guys have played. I mean, they've all played. And, I mean, I know they're backups, and they're backups for a reason. But, you know, Joe Burrow knows what he's up against. He knows how to get rid of the ball quickly. He's a timing quarterback. He's not a guy that holds the ball a long time to begin with. So while, you know, everybody would love to have their starting five up there, I mean, that's where they're at right now. And so, you know, Jackson Carmen, I thought his sets were really good. I think he's got some decent technique. I thought there were some fundamental things that he's got to get better at, and maybe he'll improve some this week. But I think they'll be okay up front.
When you get to Buffalo, how confident are you that Buffalo is going to be able to take advantage of the offensive line like we're talking about?
Well, I mean, look, you mentioned that there's no Von Miller, but they've been playing without Von for a long time. But, you know, they drafted, you know, all these guys, you know, Boogie Basham, and they drafted all these guys last year to be better pass rushers, to get after Patrick Mahomes, you know. So A.J. Epenesa, I mean, they drafted these guys, you know. So, you know, it's all about player development, you know, once you do draft them. So they've groomed them and drafted them over the last 3 years. You know, it's time to kind of turn them loose right now. And, you know, look, if they can't get home, Leslie Frazier is skilled enough as a coordinator to bring Matt Milano or Trey Edmonds or, you know, Johnson, Teron Johnson off of the slot. I mean, they've got ways to get there if they need to apply pressure.
Talking to Brian Baldinger right now, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Which quarterback, if you were building a team, would you rather have, Baldy? Would it be Josh Allen or Joe Burrow?
Well, is Patrick Mahomes available?
Take him out of the conversation, because I think everyone would say he'd be one right now.
Yeah, okay. I think Joe Burrow turns the ball over less. I think he's more of a timing quarterback than Josh is. Josh has probably more talent, you know, runs the ball better, all those kind of things. You can't go wrong. I mean, Joe's perfect for Cincinnati. Josh is perfect for Buffalo and Bills Mafia. They're perfect quarterbacks in their cities. You know, Joe's from Ohio. He's home. Like, he knows Ohio football, high school, college, you know, pro. I mean, he understands it. And Josh is just a small-town kid that fits in perfect in Buffalo. But, you know, if you said, okay, you can only have one, right now I would probably take Joe Burrow just because of just, you know, the assassin that he is and how he attacks teams right now.
When you see how those games played out last weekend, Buffalo going right down to the wire with the Dolphins after Buffalo was up 17-0 to start, And we all know how that game just changed on that fumble between the Bengals and the Ravens. Are you more concerned heading into this weekend about Buffalo or Cincinnati, Baldy?
Well, look, this is playoff football. I mean, you're going to get the team's best shot. You know, I said all week long, it's about time Buffalo's stars stepped up. You know, they drafted Jalen Phillips and Xavier Howard, you know, and Bradley Chubb. I mean, Javon Holland. They either drafted these guys or signed them to big contracts. And it was time for those guys to show up, and they all did. All those guys showed up. Huge plays from all of them. And so, you know, their stars stepped up. I mean, they're a talented team. You know, Jalen Waddle can beat anybody in this league. But, you know, so I'm not down on either team. Look, I mean, the play that they made at the goal line, you know, in Cincinnati, look, that happens once, you know, every 10 years, a play like that. It helped them win the game. But it was, you know, it was an even Steven game, you know, all the way through. Even if Baltimore scored there, I mean, I expected Joe Burrow put a drive together and tie it up. You know, I mean, it's not the game didn't finish there. But, look, it's going to be tough. These games are going to come down to the fourth quarter this weekend. And who can make a play, who makes the play on either side of the ball, you know, that's going to decide these games.
Do you expect that Kansas City and Jacksonville will be close this weekend too?
Yeah. Yeah, because Jacksonville is, you know, they've won a bunch of games in a row. They've really figured out their identity. Everybody knows the role. Christian Kirk is their slot receiver. Zay Jones, their outside guy. Marvin Jones beats press coverage. Evan Ingram's their flex tight end. I mean, everybody's got their defined roles. And defensively, they've gotten a lot better. They got pass rush right now. They got playmakers on defense. They got the league's leading tackler for the second year in a row in Aluokwan. And they've been to Kansas City. You know, they've seen the atmosphere. They know what they're up against with Chris Jones and Kelsey and Mahomes. Like, they've seen it. Okay, like they didn't play great that day, but they're a different team now than they were Week 10. So I expect them to give Kansas City a real game.
When we get to Saturday night in Philadelphia, all eyes are going to be on the health of Jalen Hurts. What do you expect out of the Eagles quarterback?
I expect him to be good. I don't expect any sort of, no matter what happens, I don't expect any excuses. This injury happened 5 weeks ago. He's had more than enough time to repair it and get back his rhythm and his timing. He's been a great deep ball thrower this year to a variety of guys, AJ and Devontae and, you know, Quez. And so I expect him to take their shots. He's been an excellent runner all year long. I expect him to pull the ball down when the opening is there. I expect both teams to give him the best shot. The Giants are a completely different team than Week 14 or Week 18. The Giants are healthy. They're playing really good football. They got a great coordinator in Wink Martindale. They're going to give the Eagles all they can handle. But I expect Jalen Hurts to be looking like the MVP that I thought he was before the injury.
When you break down the tape, and I know the Giants don't have the most talent in the world, but Dable has just done a remarkable job, Wink Martindale as well. I know the Giants for years have been this great franchise and one of those gold standard franchises in the sports, but the last 5 years are as bad as anybody. Year one of Dayball with his staff, what has jumped out to you the most?
Just the way that they, you know, continue to win games, Zach, and the way that they won games. I mean, there were games earlier the season when, honestly, nobody touched the ball besides Saquon or Daniel Jones, and they ran their way to victory. They picked up Isaiah Hodgins and Richie James, and they found that Darius Slayton can run more than go routes, and this Bellinger is a pretty good flex tight end. And, you know, they found roles, and they kept coaching them. And then, you know, Wink Martindale, you know, I talked to him this summer, and he told me flat out, he goes, if Dexter Lawrence is not in the Pro Bowl this year, Baldy, it's my fault. I haven't gotten what's inside of him out of him. And last week, Dexter Lawrence was the best defensive lineman in Super Wild Card weekend. And I expect him to be really good on tomorrow night in Philadelphia. They're very well coached. You know, Dable is just, he's just a different type of guy. You know, he really knows how to communicate and to get guys to believe. And, you know, Daniel Jones has really taken to the coaching of Kafka and Brian. It's totally different than what he did in Buffalo or what he did in New England or anything else. They've done the essence of what coaching is, Zach, and that is, let's take what we have and let's make the best of what we have. And that's what they have done this year. That's what great coaching is.
Just wondering, and you do such a great job on these film breakdowns, who's your favorite player to break down these days?
I have a couple, but, I mean, Mike and Max, like, easily are so much fun to break down. I mean, they're just Trey Smith in Kansas City, the right guard. I mean, some guys you just have to watch every week. I mean, Nobody moves like Micah in this whole business. Nobody defeats blocks better than Max Crosby. You know, those guys, Trey Smith is just a, you know, he's just a stone-blooded killer at right guard with a right hand like nobody's business. Like Mike Tyson might have a right hand like that, but nobody else. I mean, so those are some of the guys, but, you know, there's, you know, like I like Hassan Reddick, like the way that he moves, and he's fun to break down. And Lane Johnson is just an elite athlete. He out athletes everybody goes up against. So I could go on and on, but I would say Micah and Max and Trey jump off the page right now at me.
I'll say this, and I remember you used to do that Meat Locker segment with the Cuz, Anthony Gargano, which is some of my favorite radio that I've ever heard. Yeah. I remember bringing in from Temple Hassan and Deion, Dawkins.
I remember that day.
Both those players turned out to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is I met those guys then. Then I think Rule brought me over to Temple at some point. I talked to the team. But I've stayed friends with both of them. They all follow me. I follow them. I saw Deion this summer at training camp. He brought me over to bust Josh Allen's, you know, stones. So, you know, like we're, you know, that those relationships we built there at the station up in North Broad Street, like they're solid, and they're there for a long time.
All right, last game that we'll ask you about, and that's the one that concludes the division around weekend, Cowboys and the Niners. Does the Brock Purdy magic come to an end this weekend, and does Dallas pull off the upset?
No, I mean, I think Brock Purdy will play well. I mean, Dallas is certainly capable of winning the game. You know, they've turned, you know, they didn't turn the ball over last week. They've really cut down the penalties, something that really plagued them last year against San Francisco. I think their offensive line is playing very well, no matter what they do at left tackle. Jason Peters, Tyler Smith, they're playing really well right now. Center's back and healthy. So I expect Dallas to give them a game, but I think the constant pressure and the speed of San Francisco's defense is going to end up being the difference in the game. But I expect Brock Purdy to continue to play at or near the levels that we have seen for basically 7 weeks in a row.
If you had to take a guess, Brian Baldinger, who's starting for the Jets next year at quarterback?
I don't know that person is on the roster right now.
Could you see it being Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know if they want to go in that direction. You know, it's such a young team. They have so many young players. I mean, so many good, you know, Brees and Sauce and, you know, just the young guys. I feel like they need somebody to grow with. I mean, not a one-year rental. Like, they did that with Favre a decade ago, and it was good. It was good. But, you know, I think they need a younger guy they can grow and build with. And maybe it's Zach. Maybe, you know, the new coordinator will really, you know, and maybe a better offensive line can help Zach. I'm not going to shut the door on him. But, you know, he hasn't done anything to impress anybody over there right now.
Would Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo, either of those two names, excite you?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, they're proven guys. That's a Joe Douglas question. I might go Derek Carr over Jimmy only because he stayed healthier longer than Jimmy has. And so he doesn't have the injury history that Jimmy does. And the last thing Jets need at any position is a player with injury history.
And then the biggest question of the offseason so far, Brady and Sean Payton, what is their futures looking like?
Yeah. Well, I think Sean will coach. I think he's going to get, you know, a bunch of offers. I think a lot of teams would court him. You know, we've got five teams out there without a head coach right now. I think he'll get one of those jobs. I don't necessarily know if it's Brady and Payton a package together. I don't know what's going to happen with Tom. He was awful. Just awful in his last game. And he had some games like that. Against Cincinnati this year, he was awful in the third quarter. You know, it's just the type of games that you're just not used to seeing from Tom. And is that a product of age? Is that him slowing down? Is him not being able to, you know, read defenses properly? Because he didn't look like he knew how to do it the other night against Dallas. So, but, it only takes one team. It only takes one team to fall in love with you, and that's all he needs right now if it's not going to be Tampa.
Baldy, always appreciate the time. Thank you.
My pleasure, Zach. You bet.
There's Brian Baldinger joining us. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back, and we'll recap a little bit of that conversation on the other side.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So, yes, we are getting you set for divisional round weekend. We'll continue that conversation in just a bit. But I really do think right now, Hickey, the football world has been taken over by the future of Tom Brady and the future of Sean Payton, too. So I just want to play a little game here. And I didn't tell you we were going to play this game. It's a game called Will, Should, Wild Card. Now, we could work on the imaging of this at a later date if we're going to continue this. So, I have Sean Payton's name written down and Tom Brady's name written down. I want you to see if you could guess what I'm thinking. So, let's start with the coach. Where will Sean Payton be coaching next year? If you had to tap into my brain and go what I'm thinking about.
Do I have to pick a team? Because I feel like you would say sit out here.
For Will? I actually now think he will be coaching the Denver Broncos next year. Harbaugh out. You know that that new ownership group is going to make a run. You hear the reports that Russ is really interested in him. My Will, because I look at him, I think he's too addicted to coaching. I really do. I don't think he's going to have the ability to say, I'm going to sit out for two straight years. That's why I said he will be the coach of the Denver Broncos. Now, how about the should? What do you think my should is?
Sit out.
There you go. Look at you. You swung and missed on the first pitch. You adjusted on the second pitch. And you hit a nice little single opposite field to right field. Wild card. Who do you think my wild card is for Sean Payton? And only five jobs available. Or you could think maybe someone gets fired this weekend.
I would say your wild card would be the Panthers.
Nice job. I don't think he's going to the Panthers. I could see, though, Tepper doing whatever it takes. So that's why I threw the Panthers in there as a wild card. I don't think the Panthers are that attractive. But if an owner gives you that $20 to $25 million price tag and is willing to give up the capital, we know David Tepper would absolutely do that. Now, for Tom Brady, where do you think I will say that Tom Brady will be playing football this upcoming year?
I think you will say the Raiders.
You are correct. I did write down the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, how about the should part?
49ers.
So, I've been thinking ever since that trade did go down for Christian McCaffrey that eventually Brady would get there. And even though I am predicting that this weekend the 49ers are going to lose to the Dallas Cowboys, I can't put the 49ers yet in a should category yet because I don't know if they're going to be interested in him, if that makes sense. Like, yes, if the 49ers want Brady, Brady should absolutely go there. But if Brock Purdy does the unthinkable and wins this week, wins next week, and gets him to a Super Bowl, even if he loses or wins that game, however it goes down, if it's just a close game, I don't think the 49ers are going to be interested. Remember, when the 49ers lost the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback to Kansas City, Brady wanted to go there. And the 49ers thought about it, right? They were very honest about this. They talked about this on the record. Like, I was surprised after they passed that they put out, like, not a statement. I don't remember if it was a statement. I think they had a press conference where it was John Lynch who was pretty honest about it. And they said, we thought about it. It's Tom Brady. You got to think about it. We took 24, 48 hours, and then we decided to stay with Jimmy Garoppolo. But this is the thing. If they, with what, the way that Shanahan has been able to coach in this league, and I know you could easily say, well, maybe Brady is the missing piece. But if Brock Purdy gets to that Super Bowl again, or even if he loses a close game in the NFC title game, don't you think, which is how much they've invested in Trey Lance, and then with what Brock Purdy has done, that maybe ego's going to take over here for John Lynch? And I don't know if Kyle Shanahan wanted Trey Lance or not, but you know Lynch did. I wonder if ego's going to get in the way from allowing them to go pursue the services of Tom Brady, or if they just win it all. It's not like you're going to move off Brock Purdy after winning a Super Bowl with how young he is. So I just don't know how much of a realistic option at this point Hickey is for me right now to say it should be the Niners, that the Niners would be interested in him.
I wonder if they lose, either lose in the NFC title game, lose this weekend, which is not going to happen, but let's just play the game. They lose this weekend, you lose in the Super Bowl. If you're Kyle Shanahan, you say, you know what, screw it. Tom Brady for, like, it's not a long-term commitment.
No, it's a year to year.
Especially if you think Brock Purdy maybe still could be the guy, it's going to be a year, maybe two at max. You keep Brock Purdy, you trade Trey Lance, and you bring Tom Brady, kind of go all in and get that one. And as you know, once you kind of get the one, you get the monkey off your back, then it gives you a little extra breathing room. Then you have more time and patience with Brock Purdy. I think it just makes everything easier. I wonder if Shanahan, if the season ends abruptly, if he says, you know what, screw it, let's just go all in for this next year and see what happens.
I think for the way to Brady to end there, they have to just get embarrassed in a game. I really do at this stage, where the offense is clearly getting held back by the quarterback. It's going to have to be something like that. And with how stacked that team is, I don't know if that's going to, even if they lose this weekend, if that's going to be still a glaring weakness. So I'll just throw it to you this way. If they lose this weekend, let's say 27-24, Purdy played fine, Dak just beat you at the end in a 2024 game, got him into field goal range, and Maher drills like a 34 or 40-yard field goal. Does that open the door for them, in your opinion, for Brady? If they lost a game where it wasn't really the quarterback's fault, just wondering?
Probably not, but I don't know. Again, if you're Kyle Shanahan and you come close with two, we'll say average to below average quarterbacks,
yes.
Do you just get tired of it and say for a year, let's go? If you still think, and I don't know what Kyle Shanahan thinks, if he thinks maybe Brady's washed, maybe he doesn't, then that's not a conversation. If he still thinks Brady has game, mm-hmm. I just wonder if that motivates him to say, you know what, let's just go all in for, again, it's a short-term commitment, let's just go for it.
And I've said this before about Trey Lance. I think he was talked into Trey Lance. I don't think that was his first choice from the jump. Purdy, no one could have seen coming. It's miraculous that he's even on the roster. But once again, I just go back to this. If they lose in a close fashion, is it just time, I guess, is your answer? I'm just trying to figure out what your answer is. Is it just time because that has elapsed and they still haven't won? Because when they lost, when Brady, I'm not saying Brady's an unattractive name now, but when they lost that Super Bowl, Jimmy G got the ball batted down at the line of scrimmage by Chris Jones, and then he overthrew Emmanuel Sanders on a play that would have won them the Super Bowl. They didn't do it then. So if they lose in a close fashion now, is it just simply, hey, more time has elapsed, it hasn't worked, so let's go bring in the greatest winner of all time?
Well, yeah, I mean, that, and then you've now had 2 years or two deep playoff runs where you're playing with, again, you have, we'll say, a disadvantage, if you will, a quarterback, where just you bring in a guy of Tom Brady's stature. It makes Kyle Shanahan's offense, like, I think Brock Purdy's success this year is all because of Kyle, for the most part, because of how Kyle Shanahan runs an offense. So if you're Kyle Shanahan, you say, do I want to basically, kind of like Sean McVay, do I want to drag this guy along, or do I want someone that can keep up to my speed or even surpass me in the guy? Obviously, the Rams got Stafford, it worked. If you're the 49ers, I just wonder if that's, if you lose even a Super, you get close again. And if you're Kyle Shanahan, you say, you know what, let's just go for it. I don't know.
Okay. Now, my should answer here, and it makes me sick to say this. It really does.
Dolphins.
Can I finish here? Sorry. You got one guess. You blew it. You're killing me, Smalls. Come on. Ay, ay, ay. No, I'm just messing with you. For the should answer, if the 49ers want him, he should absolutely go there. That to me is undetermined yet if they're going to want him. And I'm trying to base this off realistic options. Yes, my answer is the Dolphins. Even, I can't, I'm picking the Cowboys today to beat the 49ers. And I'm saying that Brady should go to the Dolphins based off the realistic options. I need a whiskey. I really do after this show. Maybe even during the show. But, yeah, you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Like, you could argue the Raiders, but, and I know it's the familiarity with McDaniels and all that, but I just think the Dolphins are in a better spot than the Raiders. And then my wild card. What do you think my wild card is for TB12?
Ravens.
No. It was a good JLC thought. I did not consider the Ravens for this answer.
The Saints.
The Saints with Sean Payton and Tom Brady. That would be a wild card answer. Like, I guess you could throw the Panthers in there as well, because I don't think the Panthers, I don't think the Saints would trade with the Panthers for Sean if they know that Brady's going to go there, or they're just going to drive up the price even more. Maybe that does happen. But for the Saints, the reason why it's a real wild card, they've already said Dennis Allen's coming back. Now, if it gets to a point where it's like, oh, Brady is going to come and play for the Bucs again, or Brady's going to go to the Panthers, and that means Sean's going to go there. If I'm the Saints, yeah, you may take the draft capital and go, hey, we're rebuilding anyway, so we're not going to be afraid of that. And who knows how much longer Brady's even going to play. So you could do that. But if that's the case and I'm the Saints, I don't want to see my division rival benefiting from the coach that was our coach and then also a quarterback that's been in our division, obviously, the last 3 years. So it would not stun me. I think it is a wild card, but it would not stun me if they say, okay, Dennis Allen, thanks. I know we said we're going to bring you back, but Sean's going to come back. He's going to be the coach. We're paying him anyway. And then, oh, yeah, we'll go out there and sign TB12.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws, caught, touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Nonstop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team and postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. All on the road to Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. It's all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone, and joining us coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific from Westwood One will be Kevin Kugler, who will be on the call for Giants-Eagles tomorrow night, 8:15 p.m. Eastern will be that matchup. But first up, let's get to a little news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Brock Purdy, the Niners quarterback, as they get set for the Cowboys and why he's been able to play so even-keeled this season.
At the end of the day, I know that I'm not defined by, you know, the wins or losses as a person. Like, that's not who I am. I'm not a quarterback. I wasn't born to just to be a quarterback and play football, and that's it. Like, I have a life and everything like that, and I remember that.
Here's the thing I like the most about Brock Purdy. You never know when you're going to get your opportunity. No one could have authored this script this year. I don't care if you're related to Brock Purdy or not. But there's something about getting that opportunity. And you never know when you're going to get that opportunity. You could put so much work in, and people could overlook you for years that you may never get that opportunity. But he got the opportunity, and he's kicking ass right now. And you look back, not that I'm directly comparing him to Brady, because if anyone right now says, he's the next Tom Brady, like, you're just crazy. But Brady has talked about that before. He's always thought that he was the best. He always thought that he should be on the field. And even though there's people in front of you, and it was different with the Patriots because it was Drew Bledsoe, he's paid $100 million. But in this case, we know what Jimmy G's done in this league. We know that how much they invested in Trey Lance as well, even though the contract isn't there, all the draft picks that they gave up. And Brady always said, when I got that job, I know people say you can't lose a job to injury. You shouldn't lose a job because of injury. Brady never intended to give that job back, and he never gave that job back to Drew Bledsoe. And that's the similarity that you see with Brady and Purdy. In the early stages, Ryan, it's that Brock Purdy's just saying, F it, I don't know if I'll ever get another chance again. I'm going to do everything I can so they will never pull me off the field.
And so far, he's given Kyle Shanahan and co. no reason to take him off the field. He's been tremendous. If you want to say last week was one of his worst games, which is kind of what people are saying.
For the first two drives, other than that, he was fine.
32 yards, yeah. Four total touchdowns. Like, that's your worst game. Holy cow. We are really kind of just raising the bar to almost an insane level.
I don't know the last time we saw a Colts quarterback do that, honestly.
Andrew Luck, like, circa 5 years ago.
So you're looking at, like, 7 or 8 starts now for Purdy. I don't remember what you said in the moment, but when he got that start in early December, where were you at with this Niners team? I know that you've always been optimistic about this Niners team, but I forget. Did you think that they could still go to a Super Bowl early on when Brock Purdy took over for Jimmy Garoppolo was in that Dolphins game?
Yes. NFC champs did not waver for one reason. It's not even Brock Purdy.
It's
the fact that the 49ers are the only team that is really not quarterback-centric.
If that take of yours is true, I give you credit. Because as much as I like to clown you for a lot of your wrong predictions on this show, and there's been a lot of wrong predictions, that the fact that you still thought they could get to the Super Bowl is a heck of a prediction. Because I would look at it and say, look at that roster, it's great, but come on. Brock Purdy, like, you just hear the name. Come on, he's not getting to the Super Bowl. And here we are, two wins away. Two wins away from him being the NFC representative in the Super Bowl. You may want to, can I give you a little career advice here?
Sure.
Just in the Zach Gelb show structure here,
sure.
I would find that audio of you saying, I still think Brock Purdy can get to the Super Bowl, because if I know myself the way I think I know myself, and I don't remember this moment on the air.
Oh, I do.
I probably trash you for it.
You like were, I do forget the team you're talking about, but you're, Hickey, like, of course you're on the 49ers. I said, no, like, this is, I'm still sick of it. You're like, What? Are you kidding? I got to look up the day they announced Jimmy G was out, but I remember it like it was yesterday. It was right at the start of the show. They're dead. I think it was maybe Eagles division to win now. It's a lock. Lock it up.
Conference, yeah.
Hickey, of course you agree, right?
And you said no, they're still going. Can you do the impression of me one more time?
What? Are you serious? What is wrong with you? Why would you think that?
I probably said, Niners fans, he's the mush of all mushes. Hot take, Kicky strikes again. You guys are screwed. Screwed.
As Ian Williams would say, Niners gang. I don't know what he says afterwards, but.
I think he says bang, bang.
Bang, I like that.
Bang, bang, Niners
gang. Niners gang, bang, bang. Or bang, bang, Niners gang. Got to work on that, you know? So now part of the crew.
So he always says that when he joins us. And then Drew Pearson always goes, hut-hut! I like the hut-hut better. That's just me. You?
I like the Bang Bang Niners gang because it rhymes. The hut hut, that was funny, especially since the first time I figured out was during the, I think it was first and goal when he actually had the Sounders. And I thought, he just loves the Sounders.
Yeah,
but it turns out that was his thing.
Yeah.
Hut hut.
That was great because when we do the first and goal segment, we play the sound effects like, hut hut. And then he started saying hut hut. And I go, and Hickey's like, oh, wow, I can't believe he's doing the sound effects. I go, you've never had Drew Pearson on, obviously, because he always says hut hut.
Never knew he was a hut hut guy.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan says the Cowboys are a better team than when they played the Cowboys last year.
They're a good team. They've been it all year. Probably looked at their best on Monday night, which you expected them to, just with the atmosphere and everything. But I mean, they've been good by it for a while, and just watch them this week. It reminds me of their team from last year and only improved.
Let's go to Dak Prescott. He says last year's playoff loss to the 49ers will definitely serve as a motivating factor.
Using that loss last year as a motivation and just kind of the focal point, I guess, of the resiliency that, we carried into the offseason, obviously carried into this year. Yeah, we get a chance to go back and at their place, do something that we want to do.
Here's where I think last year actually helps the Cowboys this year, Hickey. Last year, if you recall, Mike McCarthy was pretty damn open about how that team was not prepared and they were not ready for the game. And they were kind of like, I don't remember if he said afraid for the moment, but you remember what, like, he was in that realm that, like, they weren't up for the moment.
They were nervous before the game. He's like, I sense the jitters. Everyone was very nervous.
If you're nervous before this game, and there's always, like, pregame nerves, but if you don't shoot right out of a cannon to start this game after knowing last year you let the moment get to you early, then this team will never win. So I think last year actually helps them because they remember how big of a talking point that was afterwards, and you can't or you should not repeat the same mistake twice. Let's go to Zeke Elliott. He says that the team still believes in their kicker and Brett Maher.
We got trust in him. We got faith in him. You know, and I mean, that's our brother. We're not going to turn our back on this. Last week we didn't really need him, but this week we probably will. So get shit together.
Was that really an endorsement? Like, imagine
up until the end.
Imagine if I got on the air. Yeah, Hickey had a bad prediction here or there. You know, I didn't really need him last week, but you know, maybe I'll have a bad prediction again. Maybe it'll be good. Like, that doesn't sound a big vote of confidence. If you had to take a guess, what do you think the odds are? It's plus money for Brett Maher to miss an extra point this weekend. What do you think the number is?
Plus 125.
It's plus 250 to miss an extra point this weekend. That's like an insane return. You bet 100, you get $250 there. Maher, according to Sammy P on Twitter, is 134 out of 144 all-time in extra points. So it's a 93% chance. That's like, come on. I know it's in the moment, but I would not be. It's not bad odds. That's how they get you, right? It's great odds. You look at the number. Oh, a guy missed four extra points last week. I'm about 100. I'll win 250. Hey, I make all his extra points. You're not confident, though.
I mean, the mind is one of those, like, that's more scary than a physical injury, that's for sure.
Joe Mixon discusses why he's upset that the NFL is already selling Chiefs Bills AFC Championship tickets.
To be honest, it's disrespectful, but we're not worried about that. We got a game to play on Sunday, right? So you can't count us out. We got a game to play on Sunday. Like I said, that other stuff, that don't mean shit. We're going to go out there on Sunday and, you know, we're going to do what the hell we got to do to come back with that dub. And then we're going to see what they're talking about.
Here's the mistake, and I guess you couldn't keep this internal because you're selling tickets to the public, but there's ways to prepare for things and not to let everyone know. And, like, for example, when the Patriots played the Eagles the first time in the Super Bowl, the Eagles were preparing for their parade, right? The city has to prepare for the parade in case they win. Somehow that parade route got leaked out, and Belichick read the parade route to the team before the game. He was like, all right, they're going to be here. Then they're going to go from here, there. He goes, you guys good for that? You know, good for the Eagles parade? So I get why Bengals players are using this as motivation. Do they have to sell these tickets before the game? You could say no, like, the minute the game ended, could you put them on sale or Monday? But then you also have to allow people time to come up with their travel plans. And is it as easy as, okay, game ends Sunday. Okay, we could go get the tickets sold on Monday. You know, the tickets are always going to sell out. But can everyone arrange their travel plans? I don't have a problem with the NFL. Because how many times, like, for example, a buddy of mine is a Patriots season ticket holder. Every year in December, he gets a notice. If the Patriots are to make the playoffs, would you like to purchase tickets? So I don't have a problem with the NFL selling tickets to this game. Because then if it doesn't happen, right, you get your money back and everything. They're just getting ahead of the game here.
I think you have to sell tickets beforehand. Like I said, you can buy, I mean, I'm pretty sure you could buy Bengals, Jaguars, AFC title game tickets in Cincinnati if you wanted to. Every team has the ability to sell them ahead of time.
Yeah,
but
that's a thing, too.
I like that Joe Mixon's like, screw him.
You know what? You're right. You made a good point off my good point. The Bengals, I guarantee their season ticket holders are allowed to purchase throughout the playoffs and already have paid their money. Is that disrespectful to the Bills? Now, the odds of the Bengals having a home AFC title game aren't good because I don't think Jacksonville is going to take down Kansas City. Andy Reid says Doug Peterson's been tremendous in Jacksonville.
All of a sudden, his receiving core, for the most part, except for McCole, they leave. New group comes in. And he didn't flinch on it. He didn't complain. He didn't, you know, run up to Veach and go, what are we doing? You know, that type of, that's not what he did. He just said, I understand. Let's go. They've improved every week. And, you know, and they have bought in. Doug's done a great job, as his coaches have. I mean, it takes everybody. So, but he's done a nice job with that.
He absolutely has. And finally, Jalen Hurts says the team can't afford to change anything from the regular season.
Process remains the same throughout everything, but the standard rises. So, you know, we just want to kind of lean on the things that have gotten us here.
And the big question is, how healthy will Jalen Hurts be? Brian Daboll says the Giants are expecting Jalen Hurts to bring his A game.
He wasn't on the injury report, so we're, you know, I'm expecting his best, and you know, that's what he's given every time I've been around him.
Jalen Hurts, who I love, and Brian Daboll, who I love as well, Hickey, they give absolutely nothing. Nothing to the media. They both come. Clearly, Hurts comes from the Saban school. And Daboll has been around both Saban and Belichick. But if Saban and Belichick were to have kids, the offspring would be Jalen Hurts and Brian Daboll, just the way that they speak to the media. We'll break. We'll come on back. Five questions, five answers next. Onside, offside.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey.
Throws. Caught. Touchdown as time expires.
Unbelievable turn of events.
Non-stop coverage from the biggest sports radio stations in the country. Podcasts dedicated to each NFL team. And postseason games streaming live for free.
Takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown.
Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.